Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I tell you what, we just keep sharpening and sharpening. It's a good thing we don't have to go into the fire to get heated up. To get sharpened, or maybe we do. Maybe that's something that has to take place. Kind of like that blacksmith type of analogy, you know. You got to get heated up. You get heated up, they put you on the anvil, and you start hammering away. And after they hammer away for a little bit, then, you know, you just all knock kind of crazy, it seems like. Then you put back into the water to cool down. You think, oh, finally, over with. And then they pull you out of the water, put you back in the fire again, heat you up, and process keeps going. So I try to not resist so much anymore and try to say thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to grow in you. So anyway, so I'm glad you guys are here in the studio with me today. The only one I could actually that would come up with this topic that we're going to be talking about would be my brother Duke. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
And we have a topic that we're going to be talking about how we you know, our mouth, how the things that come out of our mouth, you know, and it, why is it that that's so difficult to do? And what does the Word of God say about that sort of thing? You might be surprised at how many things in the Bible you will find about the way that we use our tongue, in a sense, okay? But in the meantime, hey, you know, I'm going to ask anything you'd like to...
Oh, yeah, which list do you want? Yeah, of course.
the
blessings are long. Well, yes. I will share the most recent, because it kind of segues into this topic of using our tongue or our mouths, in that I had a guest speaker recently at one of our men's groups at Band of Brothers, and by his mouth, he gave his testimony, and I saw lives changed. You never know when a man is going to give his testimony before other men, how it's going to impact any one of them. But you know that someone in the room can relate to the struggle the guy had and him claiming victory in it, and a guy going, wow, you mean there's victory in that?
Yeah.
And as I, this Wednesday night, as I witnessed that occurring between the man and the testimony of the man that was up there, I just was so filled with thankfulness.
Yeah.
That here is probably the single most powerful way for us to reach other men through our testimonies, through the example that we are striving to set.
Yes.
By our behavior.
Yep.
And that's what we got out of the testimony of this man that spoke Wednesday. So it's so encouraging to see that and to see lives change and see guys go, I guess I'm not alone in this thing. And look there, I guess I could do that too.
Right. And for those of you who are listening and sitting there going, well, you know, I can't get that at my church. You know, the pastor isn't necessarily share his own stuff. Well, maybe there's a men's ministry. Maybe there's a Bible study that you could for with men. I tell you what, for guys, that's actually the best way. If you do it in couples, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get the transparency that you would get if you have just men alone. And so I encourage you to seek out those ministries. All of them are good. All of them are good. We don't have the corner on how to do men's ministry. It's about loving them and being able to be transparent and willing to show your own weaknesses as leaders, and then letting others know that this is how I got what I got, you know, and then go from there.
So, amen.
There you go. Okay, well, let's just kind of dip into this thing a little bit. And we're actually going to just jump right in. Psalm 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit.
Well, of course, that means don't lie and don't be a mean person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And there's another one in Psalm 12:3. It says, may the Lord cut off flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boast.
Hmm. Okay. That would be all about self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Psalm 35 says, then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. So with the same lips that we end up, you know, maybe trying to get our own way or putting somebody down or, you know, saying words that are hurtful, with the same lips we actually praise God with as followers of Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you brought this up because
I did,
you know,
yeah.
You thought, man.
Well, I've got a couple of memories about this, and I'll share one, and it just came to mind, actually. An early memory was I can remember when I was, I guess I was seeking, I was challenging whether or not, you know, what was good and what was bad, according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I was a young man. I was in my teens. And I can remember talking with a pastor and asking him, why was the F word a bad word? I mean, who says that it's bad? I challenged him in my ignorance. I said, well, show me in the Bible where it says if I say this word. Right. So I can remember from a very early age feeling like that I probably shouldn't be using those words.
Right. Right.
To the point that I'm asking a pastor to give me the get out of bad words free card that I could still believe and still go ahead and use my tongue the way I wanted to.
Right.
Then later in life, as I came to be more of a believer, I was challenged with doing something that was my part.
Yeah.
And I thought, in my life, what is it that I could stop doing? I was smoking, I was doing it. I didn't want to give that stuff up, mm-hmm. not at that time. But for whatever reason, brother, what struck me was my language.
Yeah.
I worked in a car business environment, and F-bombs were frequent. And even when I said them, I was a little bit about, did anybody else hear me? Then, you know, you're afraid maybe a woman heard you. At least I have that core.
Right.
But I did decide at that time, there's something I can do. I'm going to challenge my relationship here with this God, with Jesus, and I'm going to try and do something good.
Yeah.
And it was change my language. So at that time, mm-hmm. I decided to quit swearing.
Yeah.
And I did. By and large, mm-hmm. it takes a while.
Sure it does. Hey, habits are hard to break sometimes. You just have to replace them with other things. I recall my language, too, being in the military. A youthful military, right? And, cussing was part of it, okay? F-bombs were just every other word, so to speak. It was a means of describing something, and it's all I knew. I'll never forget when I ended up getting making a decision to get clean and sober, okay, years down the road. When I did, the person that I called my sponsor at the time, he had told me, he says, you know, there's something I'd like to have you take a look at and about possibly changing. So that's your language. Mm-hmm. You're very good at what you do in your work and sales and et cetera, and all these things that you do. But your language is can probably use some changing. I said, well, you know, this is the way that I talk. This is the way that I talk with everybody around. He said, but you don't talk that way with your customers, though. And he was absolutely right. I said, because I'm trying to control that, and I try to make sure I don't do that. He says, so why can't you do that and everything? He said, well, because it feels good sometimes to release that pressure. And he said, but you know what? You're more intelligent than that. And that kind of stumped me right there, because when he said that, I just thought, oh. And he said, are you willing to try something? I said, yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to try something. He said, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a word every week, a new word for you in your life to use all week long, and then you tell me how it's going, because we saw each other all the time through the week.
Great idea.
And what he was doing is he was expanding my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And he started using words that I would use to describe certain things that I used a cuss word for. And I didn't realize that. And I said, is this like school? And of course, he says, yeah, it is. Yeah. Life is like school. And anyway, he said, the other thing he said I want you to do is with that is that you have two daughters and they're 2 and 3 years old. He said, do you cuss around them? I said, no, I don't. I said, well, so what I want you to imagine is that every conversation that you have, that you actually have them on each one of your hands. Wow. They're right there with you.
Wow.
So now I'm supposed to use the words that he gives me to into my sentences, and now I have to imagine my two daughters right there with me, okay, in every conversation. He said, not just ones at work, everywhere. And I did that. And you know what? It changed.
Yeah.
He gave me something else to think about, okay? He knew that I was capable of not cussing because I didn't do that when I was talking with my the people I wanted to sell something to, okay? And he says, you're able to do this. So a big part of it is that, and I got to tell you, going back, because I also, too, sold vehicles, right? And it's amazing how the salesmen, we all get together, the F-bombs start flying. As soon as the people show up to buy something, it's like you're just as nice as can be and just pleasant, and you talk about, you know, all the things that are necessary. But that word doesn't come out, you know?
Isn't that so much the mask that that we wear in that way?
Yeah.
I can remember somebody saying something to me one day when I said a bad word or something. They said, you kiss your grandma with that mouth? and that one stopped me in my tracks. And really the conversation goes that, would I talk like that around my grandma, around my mom? I can remember my dad, first time a couple of bad words came out of my mouth as a young man, he was pretty much like, hey, you want to find yourself on your back? You just keep that up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because he didn't use foul language, but he, you know, he would cuss. The biggest problem that I have, brother, is when I'm angry.
Yes, yes.
Why is it that it seems that when we're angry, the first words that come to mind are these ones from the dark side instead of praise God or something when I smack my thumb? What's up with that?
Well, I think a lot of it's like anything else. We are, you know, if you look at a man's heart, you'll see his treasure, what he really is. Okay, what he's all about. And when we're under pressure, when there's pain, when there's a major discomfort or something, we go with our default button, which our default button with our mouth is, for both of us, I'll speak for us, right, was always going to a cuss word first.
Yes.
You know, of explaining it, and then all of a sudden realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that or whatever, but now I'm blah, 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 and you go on from there.
Yep.
So what had to change is that I had to change, but I couldn't do it on my power. And we'll talk about this here in a little bit, more of the solution of this stuff, but it was a default for me. I always go back to that, depending on where I was at. I would still have some type of self-control if there were people around that I did not want to. I would still be able to because we've all gone and going, you know, try to hold it and just the, you know, it sound like a snake comes out, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're just, or whatever, just trying to get through and over the pain or at that time. So I found that even going in talking with people, I use not just the cuss word when I started to realize I won't use the F-bombs or the S-bombs or whatever they are, okay, that all of a sudden I started using the
substitutes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Good one. Substitutes, you know, like frickin', right?
Flippin',
okay, all the other F words. Now, everyone knows what word we want to use, and we try to mask it or try to give it a different scent. Right?
Yeah. That's okay? A good way of putting it.
A different scent. And
but they know.
They know what it is
stink.
That we're trying to say.
Yeah,
and we know what we're trying to say.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Oh, yes.
And because we're trying to describe something a certain way. And we think that the only way of describing it, once again, the same way my sponsor had told me, says, let's get you some words that you can use. Mm-hmm. Okay? And instead of. And so all of a sudden, it's like, wow. So now we're at that place of realizing. I've had my grandchildren who are, youthful still. I think the oldest one's in middle school still. And I've got 8 of them. Youngest one doesn't talk yet, and so I'm sure that's going to come also. But my point being is that all of them in between, they'll use certain words. They'll even use something that would be an abbreviation of Jesus.
Okay? Yeah, yes.
Oh, geez. You know, which truly, that is actually using God's name in vain. Because we know what it means. They may not know what they're saying.
Not yet.
Not yet. But when they're older, they'll understand.
Oh, yes.
But see, they're already saying it.
Yes.
Okay? So to try to get them to understand that, sometimes it can be very challenging as a grandparent.
Oh, big time. Well, my 14-year-old granddaughter, who resides with us, she comes home from school, and she professes that, you know, a lot of kids in her, she's eighth grade, mm-hmm. Use a lot of bad language regularly,
yes.
and that she doesn't. But she would do the flipping.
Yes.
She started substituting, and I, like you said, I knew what she was saying.
Yep.
And I go to talk with her about it, and she's like, it's not that big a deal, Grandpa, kind of thing. I'm just expecting. And then we're sitting in church, and we hear a couple of people use that kind to describe something, and she gives me the little nod like, see? Oh, great. So isn't that just they're little sponges?
Yes,
so, yeah, our children.
Yes,
I think that's where all of us pick up that basic habit because we hear it,
yep.
And there's nobody to say that's wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Amen.
Let's take a break. In the meantime, we're gonna end this portion here out of the book of James, okay? James chapter 1, verse 26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless, okay? So that's James 1, 26. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what James has to say about this, because he goes directly between the eyes on this one here. So pull out your Bibles or get your pen or paper ready, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Ah, the brisk days of winter. It's cold enough in the hills that the trout are already tap dancing. But it's warm and cozy in my kitchen, and my nose is in the wind with the tantalizing aroma of a Hempler's ham in the oven. Serve with some mashed potatoes and cornbread on the side, and you're talking about pure heaven. Now, I know some of you are worried about additives and nitrates and such. Some of you are as nervous about that as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But here's the thing. Hempler's makes it very easy to eat healthy. Choose an all-natural Hempler's ham. These hams have no nitrate, and they're completely free of phosphates, artificial color, and other chemical preservatives, just like Mama used to bake. To order any of the delicious Hempler's meats online for your family, go to Hemplers.com.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one-of-a-kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. A cross meant to kill is my victory.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we want to talk about the victory over our tongue, and I think one of the one of the books of the Bible that I really enjoyed from the very beginning as a believer. Okay, I was raised as a Catholic, but I came in 1999 accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I didn't know I could have a relationship with Jesus like this. I didn't know that I could actually have the things that I have today. as a result of submitting and surrendering to him and being obedient to him and knowing where it comes from, you know. So the book of James, okay, the Bible itself is inerrant. It's what God has actually appointed and anointed for us to be able to read and to share with others, okay?
Amen.
And it comes from James, who is Jesus' brother, okay? And chapter 3, actually the part that I read earlier was in chapter 1, he talks about it. But James talks, I tell you what, you want, I believe one of the books that is meant directly for men, it's the book of James.
Isn't okay? that like rules for living kind of?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay.
In a sense.
Gives you a lot of guidance that way.
Yeah, and Paul does too. Like, I mean, in Colossians and 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, all, I mean, it's all good. But James, for some reason, that was one of the first books that I actually studied with the Bible study that I started, not knowing much of the Bible. Okay.
Right.
And because someone said, hey, it's a short book, and you guys could actually get right into it. And that's, I think, what got me is that short book. Okay, good. I don't read much, and we'll just read it and see what it says.
There you go.
And that's where it began. But I'm going to read a little bit here out of James chapter 3. And so just stay with me here. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest fire on fire, or a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Okay? This is where it talks about the heart being evil in a sense.
Okay? Yes.
People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. That's the one that always gets me.
Oh, yes.
And so, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So here we're becoming aware of the fact that, you know, hey, this tongue is evil in a sense. I mean, it comes from what's inside our heart, okay?
Yes.
And that is a telling awakening in some cases, where all of a sudden we sit there and go, oh my goodness, you know. So there are things that really need to take place. So that sponsor of mine who gave me all that stuff to do, yes, those were things I could do to kind of take care of it. Does that mean that I never did cuss after that? No, I did. I don't recall, and it's not like a story that I could tell, but I know that every now and then that came up like we talked about.
Yes.
But what ends up taking place is that there's even more that needs yet to take place. But anyway, so this stirs a few things in you.
Oh, it does. The idea of, and I can remember reading a scripture that talks about the word cutting through bone and marrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being struck by that. Now, this one you just read in James does a much, much better job at really describing that. But, you know, we're talking a little bit about what struck me was the profanity, the profane things that I hear come out of people's mouths. But as James is talking there, he's talking about even the things that we say that would knock somebody down, hurt their feelings.
Yes.
And we do that. We strike back. We don't even have to use what you and I would call bad words.
Mm-hmm.
And we can cut to bone and marrow
Absolutely.
And chop somebody up and spit them out.
Yes.
And we've all... I say we all, most of us has probably found ourselves using our words to bring harm to another.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, we don't want to be arrested for striking somebody, so but you can actually use your mouth to do the more damage, actually, in some cases.
Yeah, and then we look at the power the other way, brother. Just somebody that just needs to have you hold on to them and say, I love you. Mm-hmm. Those words are so powerful. They also cut through bone and marrow right to the heart.
Right. But all the more reason that we're always reminded about, you know, not giving, not doing evil for evil, so to speak, and not to try to fight somebody because they're trying to fight you. In a sense, we are to be reflections of Jesus Christ, and of course, you know, you go through the New Testament from what Jesus shared in his parables to Paul and Peter and James and all of those the authors of the New Testament. Proclaim how we are to live, okay?
Yes.
And yet we sit there and we go, okay, well, everyone needs to be patient with me because I'm doing the best that I can. I used to use that all the time. And yes, it is a process, but you know what? If I knew that somebody would give me $1 million if for 30 days I did not cuss or I did not tear anybody down verbally, or even where they can't hear me, you know, ever do that while you're driving in your vehicle?
Yeah.
We could, if they could hear us, they'd be, oh.
Yeah,
anyway,
James is not talking about
it. If I could do that for 30 days and somebody would give me $1 million, knowing that there was a microphone on me and that sort of thing, I would do my very best, right, to not cuss, to not tear anybody down. Yeah. It would happen. Now, you know why? Because, yeah, I'd love to have that money. To be able to do the things that I would love to do with it, okay? I sit there and go, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I can make that happen.
And we know that that's, of course, the wrong motivation, to flip it around the other way. But, you know, when we go boots to the ground, like how we're to act at the workplace and how difficult it is sometimes, I can remember not wanting to be that self-righteous guy. I mean, I wanted to blend in.
Yep.
So I might laugh at the dirty joke. I might even let a word slip here or there. Yep. And I was just kind of thinking, well, that's the world. We serve a God who's graceful and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until later that I learned that some of those men were disappointed to hear that come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Because they had an expectation because I had claimed to be a believer.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand how that could work both ways, like James just described.
Mm-hmm. I remember being told one time, when I was in sales, I think I was in automobile sales at the time, and a guy who happened to be employed there, he was in the service department, and he came up to me one time. We were just, you know, we cooked hot dogs sometimes on a Saturday or something like that on the lot, and he happened to be there back in the back, and we were talking, just eating, and I mentioned the church that I went to. He said, oh, I didn't know that you were Christian. You know, I mean, talk about being right between the eyes and humbled in a sense. It really got me thinking. I wasn't upset, and I just thought, I didn't even bother asking. I wanted to. Why do you think I'm not a Christian? But all I had to do is think about the way that I act and acted away from the front of the store when I'm back having a cigarette or whatever it was with anybody else and talking with that. It's like, oh, my goodness. And he was the type of guy that didn't hang out with the guys that I would hang out with. And he was a family man, and he was just, you know, so, and his question, he said, I didn't know that you were a Christian.
And it should be obvious. I think Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:3 that we're to be letters of Christ. And in that whole passage, really what he's saying is that our behavior will identify us.
Yeah,
the language is just one of them, of course. But that seems to be the reason this is such a topic, Raul, is because even as much as I love God and as much as I seek to do his will and not be, you know, into the world, I still find myself asking forgiveness for thinking these words sometimes.
Right.
Now, like you said, with practice, I'm way, way better than I ever was.
Right.
So I'm not down on myself about it.
Right.
But I just know that when it comes to being a reflection for others, the most powerful part about this is when others hear that stuff come out of your mouth, it doesn't build anybody up. It doesn't really glorify. We say that stuff because it makes us, I don't know, tough. It's a great description. Instead of saying awesome, you say effing awesome. Or I mean, right.
And I believe that it even goes beyond what we're talking about using foul language. Okay, we touched on it a few times, but how we can use our words to tear somebody else apart.
Yes.
Do we talk to our children sometimes? Now, if I look back when I was a young man, I was told all the time that I was not going to amount to anything if I kept that type of behavior. I was going to probably stay clumsy all of my life because that's just the way that I am, and that will never change, and that et cetera, et cetera. We can just go on and on and on. There are other things of when we become educated in a sense, and we get older, and we may not cuss, but we'll use our words to damage somebody.
Yeah, we're okay. Better at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you actually make it a you try to be a master at that.
Yes.
All right. And you feel like because you're able to use your words, and they may not be cuss words, but to be able to deceit, manipulate, control others, and intimidate. Okay. These are all come from the tongue.
Yes.
Okay, which truly come from the heart, and that is what really needs to change. So we're going to take a break, our last break. We're going to come back. We're going to start talking about some of the solutions, and I'll tell you this right now. You stay in that book of James where you're at because we're going to continue talking about what this is all about and how to take care of it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, featuring licensed therapist Carolyn Merriman.
There's a little truism, a saying that I find to be true most of the time, that overreactions are old reactions. Something mm-hmm. from your past that's not resolved yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's either some loss you haven't finished grieving, mm-hmm. some injustice that hasn't, in your mind, been made right or mm-hmm. forgiven or something. I would really love for you to look at your triggering events as gifts from the Lord to help you get over those things. You say, he pushes my buttons. Well, let's have the buttons get removed or unpressable.
Yes. Yeah.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
So many Americans are struggling. They are desperate for hope. That's why we developed the Biblical Advice Talk Shows here at faithplace.org, featuring Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show.
Well, it's definitely been an inspiration.
I drive a lot for work, so I download podcasts and I listen to them while I'm driving.
I just get encouraged.
I just feel like I learn something every day.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul in the studio. And, okay, so we've been talking about the use of the tongue, and not just only for using foul language, but to truly use the words to get your way. And sometimes that's bringing somebody else down. It's being just as slanderous and murderous as if you were to do something to somebody. I mean,
yes.
Our words can cut right to somebody, and we can see that. You know that what they used to say when we were kids: sticks and stones may break my bones,
yes.
but words
will never hurt me?
Yeah. Well, that's totally false.
Yeah,
that's totally false. Because words are the ones that we remember. And all of us, even those of you who are listening, we can actually go back and remember some of the things that were said to us.
Okay? Or we said.
You're right. Yeah. Either way, we recall those things because they were impactful. They had a spear that had the prongs that came out. So when it went in, you couldn't pull it out so easily, right?
Yes.
So anyway, Book of James, okay, in chapter 3. Now, one of the things when I learned about this in the Bible, that I actually thought that they actually, who wrote the Bible, made chapter 3 or chapter 4, and they actually did that. They gave titles to what some of them do. No, it was all solid teaching, just straight through.
Text.
So if that section that I read earlier, chapter 3, 1 through, I believe, 12, okay, I'm going to read 12. Then I'm going to read about 6 more verses here.
Okay.
So you'll know this one from what I said before. Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Then he goes on to talk about what causes quarrels in you. You can read that in chapter 4, okay? Now, that whole section that I just read there is reminding me of something.
Yes.
My relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, it's not my power that does this. It's not my ability to be able to think about knowing that I'm going to have to use another word and so on and so forth. It's truly going to the source of all things. If I really truly believe that I'm a new creation in Christ as a result of accepting Him as my Savior and my Lord, I've made a decision that I want Him to be the manager of my life. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of my life, just like a landlord, okay, that I pay rent to or whatever it might be. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. He's my life Lord, okay, my manager. So why wouldn't I do what He says? Because He says, hey, get to know me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. That means that I get to know Him a little bit more by getting into His Word and finding out who He is. And what He's about, and what He wants from me.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I needed to find a starting place for this myself. Now, what you're talking about is, and James is saying that we should have a heart that manifests what is in our heart, which would be good and not bad.
Right.
So as we know, as we talked at the break, that we're all on a different journey and a different place in our walk, I can tell you that there is an additional a benefit that I wanted to receive right away, but I didn't realize it. I decided, as I said earlier, there was a time when I was going to quit swearing, and I quit using the bad words. Now, I didn't quit using my words like you're talking about to get my way all the time, but I at least started with that. At least I started with no vulgarity, okay? Because I knew at a minimum I would want to apologize to my mom if she heard me. Okay, and if Jesus was standing next to me, no, I wouldn't use the F-bomb, right? Here's what happened, though. By just making that one decision, brother, things did start to change. My wife looked at me differently.
Right.
People in the workplace started to apologize.
Right.
I did not wear a cross around my neck or profess Jesus Christ. I just quit swearing. Mm-hmm. And we all know somebody like that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Or we'd like to. Mm-hmm. That guy at work or the gal at work, that there's no way you'd ever hear a bad word coming out of their mouth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, doggone it, that makes you feel great. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel great. Was doggone it okay to say? Mm-hmm. it does. So I guess my encouragement here is that if we just start with that, the wisdom that James talks about is long and deep. Absolutely, it's part of our journey. But if we just start with not using the profane stuff that we see people use as like a common vernacular today, that we're then beginning to set that standard, I guess, so that maybe others would be drawn to us and we could have a chance to even share that hope. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a novel idea?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay. All these things that James talks about is that even in the things that the Lord wants us. He's using James. It's not just what James thinks. It's what James has been downloaded on James to give to us, okay? Is that for us to live an honorable life. We know what that is.
Yes,
we know what it's not more than we know what it is.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay? So in doing good works with the humility, okay, that comes from wisdom. So that tells me that if I have more wisdom, I would automatically have humility because I would know that, hey, so what is humility? Well, being teachable. Being teachable is being humble.
Yes.
Okay? And we have a whole book that's called the Bible with 66 books within it that can keep me humble. Okay?
Yes.
That can actually keep me humble, and it does. And that's why a lot of guys don't like having to open up this Bible, because they feel conviction. They feel like they're being charged with something, and you are. But it's by our own works of looking at our own lives, knowing that, hey, we're guilty of this stuff.
Yes.
Okay? Now, does it mean we have to be perfect? Well, let me put it a different way. Jesus tells us in Matthew that we are to be perfect because he is perfect. We are created to be perfect and to be holy, as he talks about in Revelation. So that because this is how we are to be. See, we're on this earth for a short period of time. This is not the end all. The eternity is spent with Jesus.
Hmm.
This is where he wants us because we are sons of God. We're his son, and he wants us to be able to do his will, which is truly to love others, because attract others to him, so that they come to know Jesus, just like we came to know him, so that he would have his way in their life, so that he can give them the blessings of what living this type of life will bring. Same with us. Same with us. Yes, we are a work in process. There's no doubt. But we have control over how much we're willing to do. How often do I not only get into the Word, how often on a daily basis do I actually talk to the Lord? Some of us call that prayer. How much do we converse with him? How much of that time with him do I actually just listen? Sometimes we don't listen at all. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe I've never done it. Maybe I've never taken the time to just be quiet. I'm always asking I'm praying for this, ask for that, and for all the blessings, and, you know, if you could take care of this person or that person, you know, am I praying with the right
motives?
Okay? Yeah. Am I looking for selfish stuff? That's what he was talking about. If you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Man, that hits right between the eyes with a lot of us.
It does.
You know? So, hey, don't try to sit there and say, just because you're a follower, because you're a leader, because you're in the church or whatever it is, don't try to make that look like all of a sudden you got it all together, especially if you have selfish ambition in your heart. Oh, man, that cuts right to it. Talk about using the word that's double-edged sword that cuts right to divides the spirit and the flesh, okay? And all of a sudden to be able to pierce, that does it. James does it here. And it's uncomfortable. We don't want to hear this sort of thing sometimes.
No, we don't. And I'll tell you, there's another thing that begins to occur is when you start to embrace this, at least for me, I started using my words in a way to build and lift others up because that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So when the opportunity arises, let's say in a group discussion, where maybe the bad words or that element would start to get thrown in.
Yes.
Well, my heart said, once you throw in the stuff that's good stuff that lifts it up. So I guess in a way we're countering that exact thing by our words,
right,
by our actions.
Right.
And it's got to be regular. See, the reason this is such a germane topic to me is because I used to have a really bad potty mouth,
mm-hmm,
and now I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's all around me, so I can't deny that it's going to occur.
Right.
So now how do I process that?
Yeah.
And it's thoughts of forgiveness for those that haven't gained that wisdom, haven't learned that ability, I guess, that strength.
And the other way you can look at that is that what's actually happening is that they're tagged that maybe they need to know more about Jesus from you.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to have to go there. That means that I'm going to have to tell them about Jesus. I don't know that much about him. Well, let's get to know him. Let's get to know him even more. You know, this is very good for me also, you know. I have not arrived by any means. I get behind the wheel of my truck or my our vehicle, and I tell you what, when it talks about that, I'm talking about people who are created by God and talking to them a certain way. You idiot.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you did that. You know, whoa, this is a creation of God's, okay? Now, I do have to get to the source of what it's all about.
Yes.
And it generally has to do with my frustration, or I've created such a time frame in my life that I have to rush to get someplace, and when anybody were to get in my way, I even got upset one time when a mother pushing a baby cart and holding a child to cross the road. I'm going to turn right. I'm in the right lane, and she's having a hard time. I'm sitting there, I said, are you serious? You know?
Well, at least you didn't honk your horn.
No, I did not honk my horn. I actually almost went out to help her get across so I could turn right.
Good.
But I wasn't that kind. I didn't even go there. But my point being is that because of the decisions that I make about my day or whatever it is that I need, or maybe I have to make amends to someone. Maybe I need to talk to my wife and let her know that I apologize for talking to her the way that I did. And that bothers me because she ended up saying things to me that were hurtful. And now I'm upset and I'm on my way to wherever it is in the vehicle. Now I'm looking to be a topic of road rage, you know. So this stuff can actually, so it's the way that we live. Brother, our heart receives everything from our eyes and what we hear, okay? And what comes out of our heart comes out of our mouth, okay?
Yes.
And that's truly, if we can just get to that place. See, here's the thing I love. It's that our relationship with Jesus Christ, that he loves us 100%, just the way that we are.
Yes.
Whether we know him or not, whether we're in sin or not, he loves us. We can't earn any more love from him.
Amen.
Okay? And we can't lose the love that he has for us. Okay? He just loves us. He created us. Do we disappoint him? I'm sure we have. I know I have, okay? Do I bring a smile to his face? I believe I have at times, and I think there's many more yet to come. And I pray that there's even more of that because he so deserves it. He sent his son here so that we would have freedom and to be able to have a relationship with God Almighty and no longer having to go through anybody, high priest or anybody else. We can be with him. So, you know, James is just doing his job. We happen to hear it, and it comes directly between the eyes. Boom. You can't avoid it.
Yeah, and as you said, the only way that I've been able to conquer any of that is through the power of belief of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because on my own power, I can't do it. The influence is just too strong all the time.
Yes.
But we walk that walk. He shows up. He does help us. I do find times of calming.
Yep.
And it also gives me the courage to do something you said earlier. Sometimes it's just walking back in the house after a bad moment and saying, I'm sorry. Those words are also powerful.
Yeah, you know what's even more powerful than I'm sorry?
Hmm.
Try this for a change when you want to go back and make amends to your wife. You say to her, forgive me.
Oh, yes.
Forgive me for the way that I talked with you or whatever it was. That's received a lot differently. And if you use it, it's from the heart.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us for when we are not mindful of our tongues. Allow us the strength and courage to speak only encouraging and delightful words that lift others up. I love you is the best one. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Brother, there is hope, and you definitely are not alone.